Let's see. Okay, we're in Heavenly Places, page 248, and for today's data court, of course, which is August 29th, and the title of this particular devotion, if you will, or whatever you call it, daily devotional, its title is Our Glorious Work. And it starts off with Psalm 96. Let me see if I got the right glasses on. Yep. Psalm 96, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare among the heathen his wonders among all people." And see, this is one of the things that I don't understand. Like that one kid that came up to me years ago. And, oh gosh, it has to have been at least 15 years ago. This kid came up to me. I think he's like 17, 18, 19, something like that. He's a young guy. And he was on fire. I mean, he was on fire for the Lord. And he joined our number. And I think he is still part of our number. I can't remember the guy's name. If it's one of you, you'll remember this because you told me this. But this includes the recording. Anybody listens to these recordings? Because I don't know so much if he actually comes to the actual online church, but I know he hits the site on a regular basis. But he found the Lord, and he went to his family church, his parents, And it was one of those big whoop-de-doo kind of 3,000 to 5,000-seat churches, And he was becoming annoying, is what they said, with his faith. In other words, he was sharing his faith with as many people as he could. Because it's obvious, not everybody in those churches is going to be saved. They're not going to be walking correctly, and you could just see it just by the clothing alone. And so he was, he was doing what he can in a gentle way, because he was a very gentle man, or is a very gentle man. And I guess people complained, and the pastor approached him one day and said, "Praise God that you have a zeal for the Lord, and we're even considering you with the youth ministry and stuff like that. And but you're going to have to calm down a little bit. You're starting to, get on people's nerves a little bit and stuff like that." And he goes, "Well, I'm sorry, but I found the Lord Jesus, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's just it's all I can talk about. Even singing, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth your salvation, or his salvation from day to day, declare his glory, even among the church members as well as the heathen, and his wonders among all people." It's just like we do at the testimony services and stuff like that, or Friday night praises. And the pastor said something that actually made him leave the church. He says, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it was more or less to this effect that, it's a wonderful thing that you found Christ as Lord and Savior. But, you are getting on some people's nerves, but it's no big deal because we know that eventually, if you stay with us, you will calm down. And you'll be just as calm with your faith as everyone here. And he says, "I can't calm down. Goodbye," more or less. I'm not going to be, I got to tell people. It's just like Jeremiah says, it's a fire that burns within. You can't shut it up. You got to share it, But anyway, Sister White says, "The great and the glorious work committed to us in acting a part in a plan of salvation is wonderfully high and exalted. We cannot weigh its merits. We are to walk by faith, and as we strive to appreciate the possibilities and realize the immensity of the plan of salvation, it is our privilege to pray with the Apostle Paul that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." Of course, Ephesians 3:18 kind of reminds me of the other verse in regards to that, where his ways are past finding out. But you'll still get somewhat of an inkling as to what's going on. You'll get somewhat of an education in regards to the society of New Jerusalem, what it's like to be in his presence for all eternity. And then she goes on to say, "Lift him up, the man of Calvary. Let the mind dwell upon the beauties of his character until by beholding you become changed into the same image. And this is what we strive on to. When we say, as Seventh-day Remnant people, when we say we strive on to that perfection is Christ, our righteousness. And so we know that's the only way we're going to become part of that Gideon band. That's the only way we're ever going to be able to glorify Christ. Because, you know, if you have the mindset like Billy Graham or Kenneth Cox or Doug Batchelor or any preacher out there that's mainstream, you're out to glorify self. And sure, you might get to a point where you have a pinnacle in your realization of self. Kind of like, now this really irks me to some extent, but a good example of someone who likes to glorify self to the point where it becomes kind of an annoyance would be a guy like Robin Williams, who just committed suicide 2 weeks ago. And it's a really sad story when you think about it, because he's talented, but and he has a very, very quick mind, and he's very quick-witted. But he went in the direction he shouldn't have gone in life, and, of course, that being vulgarity, and, I mean, some of his stuff that he does is very, very, very bad. And, but he never, he got to the position where there, in other words, I don't know if you've seen, because, like, with the news research that I do on a regular basis, you get these stories about him. And others that have died or do work in Hollywood, and they're praising him left and right like he's some kind of a hero and a genius and all this other stuff. And but the man committed suicide. They're making it look like he's, you know, worth. I mean, his kind of life is what we all should strive on to, and all this. Yeah, no. You know, I mean, look at how far he can get. I mean, that's a pretty, or even Caesar in his day. Glorified himself all the way to the point where he called himself a god. And look at Herod when they said it was the voice or is an oration of a god, if you will. And he dies of worms eating him from the inside out. It just, you're never going to get to that point, that pinnacle in their faith, you know, because there's a lot of people out there, and I've met them over the years. We've met them. Some of you have met them personally, where they're all about self. They want it their way or the highway. They want to be in front of the cameras. They want to be acknowledged. They want to be called pastor, yet they've never been ordained. And there's all sorts of them out there. They're out to glorify self. And if you do that, you will never be part of the 144,000. It just is 100% impossible, because the fruits of that remnant number is, and I got to list it on the site, and the fruits can go a little deeper than I actually did them too, because I've, you know, as you read the Bible over the years, you see more and more of these little bits and pieces that we should be working on. But you're not going to get there without Christ. And she goes on to say, a life of prayer and faith will lead us to speak of his praise and tell of his power. Genuine conversion will unite our hearts in faith and love. It will teach us to, and that reminds me too, I don't know if you saw the article I put on the site today about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, 72 members, I don't think it was that big of a church, but they have converted to Hinduism. And I think that was in India or something like that. So there was no genuine conversion there. And one of the reasons there's no genuine conversion there is, it's like I said on the site, there's no power in that church. It's just like with the Jewish church. There is no power. Or the Muslims, there is no power. And so you can't expect them to do anything but what prophecy says the lost will do. But that Gideon band, now there's power. And when they get to that position in their faith where they're walking with Christ, the Lord's going to allow you to be part of that number, because you will do, as prophecy said, some of his people will do, and it will be to glorify him. I mean, we don't pray to be part of that number so we can walk on water in front of people, raise the dead in front of people. No, you have a burden in your heart to see that little kid healed or that old man, you know, lose his crippling disease or whatever the case may be. It's all about wanting them to feel the joy that you've been feeling for years. You know, that's genuine conversion. She says it will teach us to hold fast our confidence in him who is our only hope. By conversion, we join our weakness to God's strength, our ignorance to his wisdom, our unworthiness to his merits, our poverty to his boundless riches, our helplessness to his enduring might. It's like little Rudy David running towards Goliath. There's the big picture. Because for all intents and purposes, as you stand in the flesh and bone right now, and you see some scrawny little kid running towards a 9-foot-2-inch warrior, you know for a fact, as weak as he is, he's strong in God. As ignorant as he is, he has the wisdom to understand he can run towards him. And unworthy as he was to wear the armor of Saul, he went forward in the merits of Christ. And so on and so forth. I mean, it's just so amazingly obvious that it was God's hand moving that day. And that's why I like to use the term Gideon band when I speak of the 144. Because how many people did Gideon use to go forward to destroy, quite a few? It was overwhelmingly obvious. It was the Lord working that day. It will be he that is glorified. It will be Christ that is glorified, and not those people that have the rainbow over their heads and the people dropping their weapons at their sides and, coming up and worshiping at our foot. I would think that not many of us would even be conscious of what they're doing, because we're going to be looking up. She says, we must search the Word of God, making it part of ourselves. A spirit of humility, the spirit of Christ, will help us to know him who has called us to glory and virtue. If we brought the truth into the daily life as we should, we would advance higher and still higher, gaining a clearer and still clearer understanding of the revelation of God. We would lift him up in songs and praise. Through the psalmist, Christ declared, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee, in that Psalm 22. This is one of the reasons we did that stand up for Jesus thing back years ago. My family remembers this when we were Pastor Russ's church, and this is why we do it on Friday nights, or we do it on our testimony service every 3 months. Because we will stand in the midst of the congregation, and we will praise him. She says, his voice was the keynote of the universe, his unconfined power, his unsearchable understanding, his wonderful sacrifice for the human race. Help us to comprehend the love of God. We need individually to have Christ abiding in the soul. We need to open our minds and hearts to the indwelling of the Spirit of truth. We need to appreciate our privileges as the possessors of sacred, elevating truth. Think of what this means to us. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I mean, try to wrap your spiritual heart around that statement. Amen. Hope and pray you were blessed.